are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040.
I just want to acknowledge a God not just of second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances, because that is the reality of our shared humanity.
I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is.
What essential difference is there between those humans that Gosnell killed after birth and those he killed before?
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
Well, I think the congregations and pastors mean well. It is an odd thing that what is essentially a secular remembrance, some might call it cynically a Hallmark holiday, Mother's Day, has become such a prominent feature of Sunday morning in many churches. And some churches go all out. The entire day is reoriented toward mothers, toward honoring mothers, toward doing special things for mothers. There's a special reception afterwards. Maybe there are flowers given. All sorts of things are done on Mother's Day. And these things are certainly well-intentioned. But what are their effects, especially on mothers who have lost children, mothers who remember those children who are estranged? What are the effects on women in general who long for children but cannot have them, or in other ways are affected by Mother's Day, not in the way intended by well-meaning congregations? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be sharing some pastoral concerns about Mother's Day with Pastor Michael Schuerman and his wife, Katie, in the first half hour of the program in this hour. A little bit later, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is going to join us from GetReligion.org to talk about media coverage of the Pentagon and its religious proselytizing policy. We're going to talk a little bit about Benghazi and a religious angle there that is largely missed by the media, and then pick up where we left off with her on the trial of Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell, charged with multiple counts of murder. Now that the story is being covered, is it being covered adequately, and is there a systematic problem in the press about covering these kinds of stories? All that with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Now you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. We understand, because of the nature of our initial conversation here with Pastor Schuerman and Katie Schuerman, that you may want to call in or email us anonymously. You can feel free to do that as well. 877-623-MYIE, our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor Michael Schuerman is associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Sherman, Illinois. He's authored a recent blog post titled Mother's Day, A Pastoral Plea. Michael, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Katie Schuerman has also been on the program before. She's wife of Pastor Schuerman and author of the book He Remembers the Barren. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin.
Michael, let's begin with you from a pastoral perspective. I mentioned earlier that a lot of the pageantry, a lot of the special things that happen on Mother's Day in church are well-intended. But what do you think is the biggest mistake, for lack of a better word, that a congregation or a pastor might make on that day with respect to the women who are either not mothers, who long to be mothers, the other women in the congregation?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake is ultimately, like you're hinting at, that it's very easy for a pastor, well-intentioned, who's trying to honor mothers, to forget that a large, potentially anyways, large portion of his congregation, who are the women there, may not be mothers. Or if they are mothers, they have been mothers. You know, they may have lost their children, either to death or to estrangement, who knows? But the biggest problem then is that immediately by focusing only on a particular segment of the congregation that that pastor is called to serve that day, he's leaving the other ones kind of out, wondering, is there a word for me today? Is the Lord paying any attention to me today at all?
Katie, we can obviously talk about what your husband mentioned just a moment ago, and that is barren women. But there are other women in the congregation who would be similarly affected by this, by what's often the well-intended pageantry of Mother's Day. Who else are we talking about here among those women?
Well, there are mothers who have miscarried their children. They've never, ever gotten to hold their children. They hold them in their heart. They've never held them in their hands. But oftentimes they're not recognized as mothers or are overlooked on Mother's Day. There are the women whose children have grown and have left the church, and they have great pain and sadness over mothering. There are the women who would love nothing more than to be mothers, but in fact have never been blessed with the gift of a husband. And there are the barren women who are of the age of still being able to conceive and are wanting every year to have a child, and Mother's Day is kind of a calendar day that comes by and annually marks the reality that they have not been given the gift of a child through conception. There are those mothers who are waiting to adopt their child and have not heard of any referral. There are the women who have given their children up for adoption. There are the women who have aborted their children or maybe have engaged in the procedure of IVF and have multiple children frozen in a cooler in a fertility clinic. There are so many people, especially the ones that my heart's break for, are the women who are barren and past the age of being able to even, you know, hope for the idea of children through conception or adoption.
So we're talking about something where the church kind of needs to rethink what it's done here. I want to discuss some of, Katie, some of the emotions that you describe here. And it's not just one. It isn't just, you know, shame or sorrow or loss or grief. They're all part of it. What about frustration from the perspective of a barren woman or a woman who has miscarried, any of those women that you talked about? Talk about the frustration that it often brings to be reminded of this particular aspect of your life.
It's frustrating because motherhood is treated as a good work that I should be able to do, that I should be able to complete, and I haven't been able to do it. And that's because God's Word explains to me that children are His gift to give, and He gives that gift to some, and He doesn't give that gift to some. So first of all, just the way we communicate about motherhood and church in general is frustrating because there's no comfort for the barren in it. Christ's comfort for the barren is not in that statement of let's laud and glorify those women who are blessed to be mothers, because that's what motherhood is. It's a blessing. It's a blessing given by God. Children are a heritage given from Him. So part of that frustration that the barren feel is that we can't do it. We want to. We try to, and we're ashamed, but we're also angry. We're angry at God, and we're angry at the people who continually put up this trial before us that we seem to be failing at.
Pastor Schuerman, does the husband, you're one of them, does he share that frustration as well?
Yeah, absolutely. On Mother's Day, Father's Day too, although it tends to be, you see the churches making a much bigger deal about Mother's Day. But absolutely, I'm at this point, you know, not sitting in the pew next to my wife on Mother's Day, haven't for the last several years. But even so, I can still put myself there and can recall times in the past, even before we knew that we were probably not going to have children, that when a pastor makes a big deal about Mother's Day and my wife is not a mother, I feel for her. I'm sorry. I grieve too, and it's just an unfortunate thing to see affecting my wife, but also affecting all the other sisters in Christ I have there, who I know are feeling something similar. Anyways, that they are being inadvertently shunned in some way that morning.
Do you as a pastor also have other concerns about kind of, what shall we call it, kind of clearing the table of Sunday morning for Mother's Day? As fine as Mother's Day is, should the church be saying, all right, everything gets put on hold, because you mentioned before we don't do it for Father's Day. Everything should be put on hold for the observation of Mother's Day. Do you have pastoral concerns there as well, Michael?
Certainly I do. It really boils down to the question of what are we gathered together to be doing that morning in the first place, or whenever. I mean, Mother's Day is obviously a Sunday, so you're probably there in the morning. But any time the congregation gathers together is to hear the word of God, to receive from Christ his forgiving words that he has laid out for us in the scripture, which the pastor is called to preach, proclaim to the people, the Christians gathered there, and others too. Also, of course, if the Lord's Supper is being celebrated, they're there to look forward to that meal which Christ is about to feed them of his body and blood. Those are the chief things.
I invite your questions or your comments. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon, May the 10th. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email. You can be anonymous if you wish. talkback@issuesetc.org or our Twitter address @issuesetc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, we're talking with Pastor Michael Schuerman and Katie Schuerman about pastoral concerns on Mother's Day. Pastor Schuerman is Associate Pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Sherman, Illinois, author of a recent blog post titled Mother's Day, A Pastoral Plea. You can read his blog post and find out more about Katie's book, He Remembers the Barren, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Now, I'm concerned here, Katie, we heard from your husband before about kind of the deeper pastoral concerns he has about shoving everything off the table for Mother's Day. Aside from the fact that you endure Mother's Day as a barren woman up to this point, do you also have concerns as a Christian member of the congregation that Jesus is essentially being given the Sunday off?
I do. I go to church not to hear my good works being lauded and praised, nor the good works of my neighbors. I go to church to hear Christ's good and perfect work done for us on the cross. I go to hear him being praised and lauded, because in him is my victory. In him is my assurance against my sin, against death and the devil, and in him is my comfort. So when I go to church, and whether it's Mother's Day or some other theme that is apart from this, the message of Christ crucified for my sins, when I go to church and I hear about a human's good works over my Savior's good works, I leave going, where is my comfort? Why do I go to church? It's to receive his forgiveness. It's to receive the news of him and what he's done for me. So as a Christian, not just as a barren woman, but as a Christian, church is there to feed me, to heal me, to restore me. And when Christ is replaced with the good works of my neighbor, the mother, I don't hear that good news.
So it sounds like almost two strikes. I mean, not only is it, okay, here comes another Mother's Day, but here comes another Mother's Day with very little Jesus to offer in church.
Exactly. In fact, in this conversation, sometimes I can come off sounding kind of harsh. I don't mean to suggest that we should not celebrate mothers. It's just I think we should celebrate them every day, every day of the week. I think we should not just be praising them with our mouths. I think we should be serving them with our hands. I think we should be helping them in their vocation of raising up these new Christians. It's just that that's not what church is about. Church isn't about going and talking about our works here on earth. Because we're damned by them. We go to church to hear if Christ's good work for us.
Michael, you say that perhaps the best thing for a pastor and a congregation to do on the Sunday that is also observed as Mother's Day, I think the church is somewhere in the middle of Easter at this point, is to limit references to Mother's Day to the prayers. Why is that, and what would you suggest?
The main reason is it's kind of a safe zone, as it were. I certainly think there's appropriate ways that you could refer to it in the sermon too. Although that really depends on what day in the church year you happen to find Mother's Day falling on. So, depending on the year, it may or may not be appropriate. But in the prayers, that's part of the service where the pastor and really the whole congregation are at the task of lifting up their praise and their needs and their concerns to God. They're fulfilling that command of God, which is to ask him whatsoever we may need. So right there in the prayers, this is the perfect time for the pastor to lead the congregation, to teach the congregation how to rightly pray for mothers. And it's Mother's Day. Everybody knows it's Mother's Day, so it's not good to ignore it as a pastor. I mean, the fact is, it's Mother's Day, and you have mothers there, and everyone there has a mother somewhere that they may know or may not, but they still have a mother. So given that, pray. Give thanks for everyone's mother. For those who have been blessed by God with children, the pastor can praise the Lord for this gift and ask the Lord to continue to help those mothers to raise their children in the faith, you know, instructing them, along with, God willing, if their father's still in the picture, along with their father, instructing them in the faith. For those who long to be mothers, pray for them too. Ask God on their behalf exactly what they're longing for in their hearts, which is, Lord, please give them a child according to your good and gracious will. For those who, Katie mentioned earlier, those who are older, who are past that age where, you know, biologically they're not going to have a child, and even because of the way adoption tends to work in this country, they're past the age where they can really even hope for adopting a child. Help them also through praying to God to give thanks to God for his gifts to them, and for him to help them be content in their life that he has given them this gift. Also, you know, all the others. You know, the prayer could go on very long, but there are ways to make it concise. I, in the Post, cited the prayers that the LCMS publishes every week to help us pastors in our duties. The prayers for this Sunday, which is Easter 7, do a great job. I'll read them, just at least a part of it. First of all, we say, graciously accept our thanksgiving for our mothers whom you have given to us, whom God has given to us. Teach us to honor them aright. And then later, we pray, strengthen all women with child and protect them in their deliverance. And then comfort all women who long to have children but cannot, that they may find their consolation in you and your unfailing love. And just that brief sentence encompasses everyone. It doesn't have to be an endless drone of a prayer. Instead, it can just be right to the point and help the all the people know that God is hearing their need, and that the pastor cares enough and maybe even is aware of them enough to bring their need before God in prayer.
Katie, it sounds like what the two of you are advocating for, in addition to, you know, let's not shove aside the church's calendar for a secular observation of Mother's Day, as good as it may be. But it sounds like what both of you are advocating for is not to present, for the church not to present an idealized picture of womanhood or motherhood as though it fits every woman or every would-be, would want to be mother. Is that basically it?
Yes, basically. It's just that let's keep church what church should be, and that's the place where we go and we receive Jesus and his gifts he gives to us. Let's continue to support each other in the body. Let's encourage each other. Let's pray for each other. But let's not replace Christ in the service with our works.
Michael in Illinois has this to say. I'm wondering, Pastor Schuerman, what your thoughts are. Michael says, having seen the pain of members who have never given birth, I try to shift the emphasis on Mother's Day from the virtue of being a mother, which puts the hearer in the position of giver, to the blessing which we have received through God of our mothers, including the mothers we all share, the mother we all share, the church. That puts us where we ought to be, receivers of God's gifts. This makes the day not just a woman's day, but a day for all of us to rejoice in what God has done for all of us. What are your thoughts there with about a minute?
I think that's great. There's kind of two ideas there. The first one really sticks with, I think, to my understanding, what the original intent of Mother's Day was, which is not to draw attention to mothers and you know, maybe celebrate those who are mothers, but instead to give thanks to God from all of us for our mothers, right? Because we all have mothers. And the other half is good, too. It's excellent, actually, that the church has always kind of referred to itself as the mother of the Christians. You know, we're born again in our baptism, and we're born within this body that is the church. So that's an excellent thing to draw attention to, especially given that by drawing attention to that, you are most definitely going to be drawing attention to Christ in his activity in the church, you know, where he is baptizing and birthing children of God in their baptism, proclaiming forgiveness to them and sustaining them with the Word of God.
Pastor Michael Schuerman is Associate Pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Sherman, Illinois, and author of a recent blog post titled Mother's Day, A Pastoral Plea. Michael, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Katie Schuerman is wife of Pastor Schuerman and author of the book He Remembers the Barren. Katie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
Folks, caller number 7 during this break. This break that's coming up right here. We'll receive Katie Schuerman's book, He Remembers the Barren. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943. Caller number 7 right during this break, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. But be that 7th caller, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She actually made the news herself a couple weeks ago. Remember that Kermit Gosnell trial, which is still being decided by the jury, if the news is current. She blew the whistle on the fact that the press wasn't blowing the whistle. The press wasn't covering the story. Well, we're going to revisit that subject with her, among other stories. Big stories, the kind of stories that push other stories off the headlines. The Pentagon, it is reported, is having some qualms in policy about whether or not Christians in particular should be able to proselytize within the ranks of the military. How much of this is true? How much is rumor? We'll also talk about religious freedom, an angle on the Benghazi story that is not being adequately covered. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be your guest from Get Religion right after this. Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gus here. When I'm not out fixing up something with country bobs or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Well, you know, you sometimes hear from people that the liturgy itself is a barrier to reaching out with the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's just a bunch of baloney.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation, Classical Christian Worship, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer in Collinsville, Illinois.
The liturgy itself is overwhelmingly the very Word of God by which the outreach takes place. And it is an incredibly crafted balance of stuff that stays the same and of stuff that changes. So it has stability and variety automatically built into it, and it frees up the pastor to work on proclaiming the mystery of Christ that that particular liturgy is holding up for the people on that day. I think it's a great outreach tool rather than thinking of it as something that's a barrier.
Register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th, in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.